Then what? Tough Shitsky, isn't it? Obscene tapes.
Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the third interview with Mr. Swan Yi on July 29, 1982, by Sue Ellen Chan. This is the fifth tape of the interview. Mr. Last time you mentioned that you were in the service from 1942 to 1946.
No, 1943 in January, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
To 1947.
Seven. Ah, I see.
Just about almost,
That was after the...
1946, 47, yeah, around about 46, near end of the war.
Oh, okay.
See?
So it's so you were there for so many years. What was your rank in the Air Force?
Corporal.
Corporal, okay. Mm-hmm. So what was your duty in general?
Well, my duty in general, at first when I got in, I learned as a radio operator.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess I didn't make it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put me in construction.
Uh-huh.
First they put me in radio maintenance for a while.
Uh-huh.
Then from there, we went inside the line there, and began the construction to
mm-hmm.
build up a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
They call homing, things like that, before airplanes comes in.
Uh-huh. Inside the camp.
Inside the camp,
uh-huh.
yeah, where all the airplanes comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And we built that, we call homing. That homing means to guide the plane to come back home
mm-hmm.
when they're out in the action.
Uh-huh.
And then I helped a little bit on the crip room. Crip room is a secret code. In other words, when they send it out, it scrambles in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And when they bring it in, we have to decode the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the enemy won't find out who we are.
So you have to learn all this
all
code.
That thing, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I do most everything. When we need us, where we need it, that's where we go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was in a crip room as a code and decode for a message.
Uh-huh.
And I was construction from first got in to build the station,
uh-huh.
put up a homing. And then after that, I helped here and over there. And I went. All handyman.
I see. Uh-huh. How long you guys to build that homing?
Well, like one time there, it took us maybe about 3 weeks because we went to from the main island. Just about five of us went to another island
mm-hmm.
just for make up a homing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Put up a homing.
Uh-huh.
It took us about 3 weeks.
What was the name of the island?
Well, the island is Mortai, it's the main island for where we stationed at.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. We took it over from a Japanese there. Within 3 days, we got in there. In fact, when we, one day, because as soon as we got control of that, we went in
mm-hmm.
on this Mortai. So we stationed it as the main station for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then from the station, we'll send us to a different island
mm-hmm.
to put up a homing.
I see. Where were these islands located approximately?
One of them, I was working there, called Sum Island.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only island that I work in. But of course, there are different islands too. Different group go to a different island.
Mm-hmm.
And Mortai is also an island too, but
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty big island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where we're stationing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I see. So the Mortai Island was near Australia.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm. And how did you get there? First, I thought you were in Fort MacArthur.
That's why induction center.
Okay.
See, when I first got in there.
Uh-huh.
See, and they give another test, see if the Woodfield could you go in.
Uh-huh.
So actually, somehow they put me in a radio operator mm-hmm. because a simple reason why when all kinds of tests seem to be with me or something, All the answer, I just don't know it, but
mm-hmm.
I guess it right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so my high school was a radar operator, so they put me in radar operator.
Well, actually, that was your goal. Yeah, you'd like to be in that field.
In that field.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Then after that, they sent me for basic training.
Uh-huh.
A basic training, that's back in down the south of New Orleans somewhere called Kistler Field,
mm-hmm.
near Mississippi over there.
Kistler How field. Long were you there?
I stayed there, actually, I don't remember, but maybe about few months,
mm-hmm.
and maybe about 3 months, I think. And mm-hmm. from there, they sent me to a school on the Wisconsin.
Ah.
Go to a radio school.
Uh-huh.
And I go there for about 16 weeks of it.
Uh-huh.
Then you know, I graduated. And then they sent me overseas after I graduated.
I see. Yeah. Where in Wisconsin?
Truex Field, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. I see. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you over there, were there many Chinese, you know, in these training stations?
For Chinese, I think in my section, of mm-hmm. course, there's different groups in there. In my section, there's only one Chinese in there,
mm-hmm.
in the same outfit.
Uh-huh.
So we go to the same school, same place.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I guess he couldn't make it, so he was shipped somewhere else.
After the Wisconsin school?
Yeah, after Wisconsin. Wisconsin, yeah.
Okay. Right. So after Wisconsin, and then you were sent to different duties?
Yeah, then after I graduated school, then I got shipped overseas
uh-huh.
and as a construction.
Uh-huh.
And first for the radio operator, ship over, uh-huh. then put me in radio maintenance.
Uh-huh.
After radio maintenance, then put me in construction.
Uh-huh.
See, whatever they need me, that's where they put me.
I see. Right. Mm-hmm. And so how many kind of jobs you have during these 4 or 5 years period?
Well, it's just like a general duty. That's
uh-huh.
what I have.
Uh-huh.
Is I was taking care of the transmitter and watch over the transmitter.
Uh-huh.
So transmitter always going.
Uh-huh.
So no stopping. See, uh-huh. continuous going, day and night. I watch over the transmitter and see if everything's all right. Just like a night watch, more or less, and watch it.
I see.
And then they put me in construction.
Mm-hmm.
Construction to build the radio homing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime when I finished building the home, we built a place for us to stay for camping.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And then after we started building a little building
mm-hmm.
for construction for the homing.
Uh-huh.
Then after when they built that, and then we put the equipment inside there for the homing, so to send out
uh-huh.
all the equipment.
I see. Okay. So how many were you in that camp or?
I don't remember, quite a few, maybe a couple hundred in this whole group.
Uh-huh. And were there any other Chinese or you were the only?
I'm only one Chinese in that
particular
group.
Camp. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how about in that whole island?
The whole island, oh, there's division in there.
Uh-huh.
There's a few division in there.
Uh-huh.
Only one division that I know of because we attached to them for eating,
uh-huh.
for chow line.
Uh-huh.
That's 93rd Division.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but were there Chinese in the other division?
No, they're mostly black people there.
Ah. So you didn't have any chance to see any Chinese while
I
you were in service?
I did see it one time.
Mm-hmm.
One fellow, I even forgot his name even.
Mm-hmm.
He's from San Francisco. He's
uh-huh.
the only one. All these months I've been there, he's the only one that attached to the 93rd Division.
Uh-huh.
And when I usually go to chow, I meet him over there. And
uh-huh.
once in a while, he come over to my camp to visit me.
I see. So were you feeling pretty good that you're running to Chinese, or it doesn't really?
Well, it does feel better.
Uh-huh. Were you treated, did you feel any different treatment since you were Chinese?
No, they're all the same.
Uh-huh.
Because in fact, when I first got to this island, and first day, I didn't dare go anywhere
mm-hmm.
because the native over there looked like Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Now, there is some Chinese there over there too, those native.
And
so maybe some Japanese used to be owner, control that place, and some left behind is run loose over there.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we caught a couple of them on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Japanese soldier, see, but dressed as a civilian.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't dare to go out any camp, because they take me as a Japanese, probably because I was short. And so I usually stay in the camp, and if I go anywhere, I go with my friend, you know, my buddy. Maybe five, six of them go together, go out.
You dare not to go out
alone. I
won't
go there to go out alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still had a lot of fun, go out with a bunch of our own friends.
Uh-huh.
We go down beach swimming, anything like that.
Uh-huh. What else did you do on the Liberty? So?
Well, there's no Liberty. They're all hardy. Because we just, when there's work, we go to work. If there's no work, we stick around the camp.
I see.
And if we stay around camp, we have to think we have time, we go around different places.
Like the beach and basically the island was population-wise as a big?
No, it's not, because mostly it's a Japanese soldier that after when the American took over. It happened when the American took off on my birthday, September the 15th.
That was what year?
43, I got in, and around about 44, yeah.
I see. Yeah.
Let's see, make sure. 1943, I got in January, 43. Now, 1943, in September, see, they just got that place about 3 days before we went in.
I see.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
I used to joke around and say, they got this place for my birthday.
Right. What a present. So did you station there all the way till 1946?
Yeah, I stayed there most all the time. I would say at least 3/4 of the time I stay there since I got in the service.
Right. And were you discharged there too?
A what?
Discharged, is that?
No, I come back to back east. They call it Indian Gap Town. I get discharged over there.
I see. And so when you were discharged and you were thinking about coming back to L.A., or are you thinking about staying back in the East since your parents were still there?
Actually, my mind is always in L.A. here. But what the rumor told me, if I got discharged back East, of course the government will pay my way back to L.A. here. And you got to have a reason why you want to get discharged back East. I gave a reason because my folks home at. That's what that's my home, my real home, see? And that's how I get to back east, get discharged. And then when I went back east after discharge, and I took a little vacation on it, I told him, said, I want to go back home, and I want to ask the parents, I might join back in again, you know? And so they let me out for about a couple of weeks. I went back here and said, no, he said, I want to get discharged here. And then we nip it later around there so I could get discharged back east.
I see.
So I got big discharged back east, and so I told him, said, I live out here. So they gave me the fare from a place of discharge back to L.A. In the meantime, when I get discharged, I went back home and stayed there for about a few weeks. Again, see, after still a week, then I came out here.
I see.
And came back to L.A. here.
I see. So, when you went back to your home, and how was your parents, how were you, what they feel about, you know, that you decided to come back to L.A., or that you never discussed about?
Never discussed, but I told my, they already knows that I come back to L.A.
I see. So, actually, your heart's still in L.A. Do you know what you're going to do when you come back to L.A.?
Nothing, really nothing at all. I said, I thought I might go back to Tom Governor's place. See, I didn't know he sold the place there.
When did he sell
it? During while I was in the war.
So, and did he open another store?
No, he retired of it. He retired. Yeah.
So when you came back to L.A., did you look him up?
I did.
And you found him?
Yeah, I found him, yeah.
So did he suggest that you do something else, or did he help you in any way to find another job?
No, he didn't, but I just all on my own.
Yeah. I see. So what did you do then?
In terms
of finding jobs.
Well, for finding a job, I think the first thing, I go to George Play, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's
George
the
Mew.
One to find me. Yeah, he's the one that helped find me a job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the first job he find me a job is in a restaurant there as a waiter, and I didn't like it a bit.
Which was a restaurant?
The restaurant is on First Street somewhere. The sign, I forgot what the name of the restaurant. That's a little too wild for me over there, so I quit there.
I see. And was that the Chinese restaurant or?
A Chinese restaurant, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then.
And so that restaurant you stayed for a couple
about
months?
3 days.
3 days only?
I took off again.
What did you do as a waiter?
A waiter, yeah.
Uh-huh.
See, I didn't like it at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Almost in that 3 days, there's about two fights in there. So
fighting
I didn't like it.
Among the workers? Or?
Yeah. So the reason I thought he was got mad at me is that this fellow here, mm-hmm. Filipino, got mad at the cook because I guess the food wasn't too good. He grabbed one of the salt shakers and threw it, and it just went by me. I said, well, this is time for me to quit.
Was that the Filipino customer?
Filipino, yeah. Filipino customer.
I see. So actually, that Chinese restaurant is catering for non-Chinese.
Yeah, really? Well, anybody could go in there, actually. They call it a Chinese restaurant.
Okay,
see?
Yeah.
Ask for a server for anybody to go in.
Uh-huh.
And then after I quit, then I think next day, or next couple of days, I don't know how long, then George will find me another job in the restaurant again.
Another restaurant?
Yeah,
which restaurant is that?
That in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what restaurant that
uh-huh.
is. Happened. This restaurant here is a friend of mine too own that because we used to go to school in
together.
Central Junior High.
I see. Uh-huh.
That's way back now, see?
Uh-huh.
And,
what's
and that's
name?
What George told me. Yin, why? I think it's Yen, I think.
Uh-huh.
Y-I-N,
uh-huh.
or Y something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he owned that restaurant. So he was, I guess, George keep on contact with his name, you know, just all a friend. So I went to his dad as a cook helper.
Uh-oh.
See, in other words, is
kitchen
helper.
Kitchen,
yeah, kitchen helper. And the time broken, you know, from morning, then afternoon, get off a couple of hours, then you start in again,
mm-hmm.
then you're working till close up, and there's a place there for you to sleep and everything. I didn't like it because too hard to work.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you work there?
I guess I worked there for about a week or so.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like that either.
Uh-huh.
And so I quit him, and then when I came back and stayed out for about maybe another couple of weeks or so,
uh-huh.
and then George find me this place called Old Moss Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I stay. I working there quite a while.
Uh-huh.
And I met some good friends there and all that.
Uh-huh.
Old Moss Dome used to be owned by Biltmore's brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
The man who owned Biltmore Hotel.
Yes. Uh-huh.
His brother-in-law owned this Old Moss Dome.
Uh-huh.
It's on 5th and Hill Street.
Uh-huh.
It's on Hill Street, but right near the, almost near the corner of 5th Street.
Uh-huh.
Between 4th and 5th, I think.
I see. Uh-huh.
And I worked as a nightclub.
It's a nightclub.
It's a nightclub, mm-hmm. yeah. And I used to have a lot of fun over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people, you know, when I do a little sweeping, you know, wearing Chinese clothes and a little hat, you know, I'm going to get a little dustpan. And just doing a little sweeping around, see.
Mm-hmm.
But actually don't need that sweeping, but it's the atmosphere of the place.
I see. Why they need a Chinese boy or Chinese man there?
Well, they want something like that, the atmosphere in the
different
place.
Different things.
Yeah,
actually,
different.
All the customers, yeah. I imagine, is Caucasian.
No, customer, they're all white people, anybody go in there.
Uh-huh.
See, but you got to dress up a little bit.
I see.
To go in there, that's a pretty fairly high class place.
Uh-huh. Were you the only Chinese?
I'm only Chinese work in there.
Uh-huh.
They want me as atmosphere. Actually, it's not me go there to work,
uh-huh.
but go there as atmosphere. See,
uh-huh.
do sweep a little cigarette ashes there, sweep it up. Maybe someone throw a piece of paper, and sweep it up. See,
uh-huh. How did you find this job?
Well, George wanted that.
George
Mew,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I guess he got contact on Connie's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty well known.
Yes.
Uh-huh. See, the Open Slum.
Right, uh-huh.
And that's how that George knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the job is a lot, like one time, like quite a few times, or all the time, as you want to say it, people throw a dime, nickel, pin on the floor and watch me to sweep it up in my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's gambling on me by sweep, how many strokes to sweep up the coin in the dustpan.
Right. Mm. Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. So people bet on
It. Right, sometimes make them lose, sometimes make them win.
Did you find it's interesting, Jack?
It's very interesting. And also, besides doing that, I helped on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nightclub, a state little play in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like singing like magician, you know.
Uh-huh.
And help the magician assistant.
Uh-huh.
And I'll hold a card and say something, you know, and all that. And like just one joke that I make it up myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this magician asked me where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, in a southern accent,
uh-huh.
So I come from the south.
Uh-huh.
He asked me, south where? I said, south China. You know, they think I was
right.
In the south of the United States, in Alabama,
right.
Somewhere down there, see?
Right.
You know, I say, down south.
Uh-huh.
He's talking in southern accents.
Uh-huh. People probably love it.
Yeah, uh-huh. The people laugh at it like that. Uh-huh. And then I'm put on the spotlight, you know, going to one of my friends, I get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's take care of the system,
mm-hmm.
You know, announcing system and all that, and the lightning and all that.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I go upstairs and look down.
So
and
you
I help him also, see.
So you do all sort of things.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Uh-huh. What else? Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I go down there, some people tell me, play the joke in them, and talk Chinese and to be as a waiter.
Uh-huh.
Go in there and talk Chinese.
I see.
entertaining, see?
People. Uh-huh.
I think like that's kind of job that I have.
This
entertaining doing job is, my regular job is actually sweeping.
Uh-huh.
But all this little job is put up by me and a friend of mine, Bob Johnson.
Uh-huh.
He's a manager of the place, manager of all entertainment.
Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Bob Johnson. He's not the...
He's not the owner, he's
boss.
A worker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
what's the owner's name?
The owner is Baron. That's all I remember, Baron. Baron, that's all I know.
Okay, yeah. B-R-O-N.
Yeah, Baron, like English word,
oh,
Baron, the big,
uh-huh.
Rich people, what do you call it?
Okay,
see, that's
yeah.
All I know. Of,
I see. So, how long did you work there?
I worked there for a couple of years, I think.
Uh-huh. Did you get pretty good pay?
Well, for pay concern, I would say just fair, not as good as what it should be,
mm-hmm.
What I want. See?
Uh-huh.
But I just want to get by, get my on my feet a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the enough money, more than what you earned before the war or
yes,
less
I,
than?
I did. And then, let's see, what happened after that?
Well, why don't we go back a little bit, your working experience. With Tom Gubbins, mm-hmm. And you did mention like you were helping Tom Gubbins all that years, those years,
mm-hmm.
And so you helped him, and exactly how much did you make?
Over Tom Gubbins' place, he paid me as $20 a month,
uh-huh.
With room and board,
uh-huh.
And like my laundry and everything, of course, wash my own laundry,
yes.
To put up everything there, and work in the studio,
mm-hmm.
With, you know, motion pictures and studio.
Whatever you make
from
the studio, it's yours.
That's mine, yeah.
Uh-huh.
If I make over $20, it's all mine.
Uh-huh.
If I make under $20, he will make a difference of $20
uh-huh.
To me.
Were you able to make $20 all the time?
Most every time.
Ah. How much more than $20, though, approximately?
Maybe about $100 or more.
That's
maybe
very
around
good.
$50, $100, or more.
That's very good.
I know I
consider
make most
very
of time.
Good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time I make over $20.
I see. But then you still help Tom Gubbins in the
him,
store.
Yeah. As my job to work in the store.
Uh-huh.
That's what he paid me.
Uh-huh. Did you get any time out, time off during the weekend or when the closes?
No,
shop is not
I don't
open.
Get no time off. I just working every day.
7 days a week?
7 days a week, like during the weekday, he sent me to school, see?
Because uh-huh.
After school, I come back and work in the store. Uh-huh. But the weekend, and let's see, weekend, I think we close on Sunday, I think. It's mm-hmm. the only day we close.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday, I go fishing with him.
Ah.
So he, you know, he pay me, he pay my fare, go uh-huh. fishing with him.
Uh-huh.
Because actually fishing, I start him up on fishing. He never fished before
uh-huh.
until I know him.
I see. Yeah. So how many years were you in the school, Central High?
Oh, maybe about, let's see, 31, 32, 33, up to around 34.
Okay.
And between 34 and 35 and 36, I still go in school, but off and on, because
where
I've been working
in
the studio most
yes.
of the time.
And where did you go to the school?
Central Junior High.
You always were mm-hmm. in Central Junior High.
Yes, until back in 35 or 36,
mm-hmm.
I guess it looked like 35,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to Belmont,
mm-hmm.
Belmont High.
I see. Uh-huh.
See. And I stayed there until when I was around about 10th grade, just got there, maybe stayed there for about a year.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I didn't go to school all during those time. I actually go to school at 31, 32.
Uh-huh.
And then when 33 come, I begin off and on.
Yes.
And because I go to studio working
uh-huh,
on it.
Uh-huh.
Actually, there's about 50 going to school.
I see. Uh-huh.
From 33 back to 36.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. I see. So most of the time you were like working at the same time while you're going to school.
Yeah.
And like you said that on Sundays you would go fishing with Tom
yeah.
Gobbins.
Uh-huh.
And what else? What kind of other kinds of recreation did you have during that time period?
Well, during that time, I don't have too much recreation. That's only that recreation I have.
I see. Since
and
the
like after close at 9 o'clock,
uh-huh.
and after when I have time, I usually don't get enough sleep. You know, I at least like to go to the theaters. And,
uh-huh.
and after 9 o'clock, I usually go to the show,
uh-huh.
go to the theater.
So you love to
come
go
back
to
around about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And get out around about 7 o'clock, and you know, sometimes I don't have any sleep and go to school at the same time.
Oh, they have the shows that run
all night. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
down Main Street, they always have a show run all night.
Oh, yeah. I see. So what kind of shows did you watch?
Well, as long as it's show, movie, whatever it is.
But not Chinese movies?
No,
though.
Not Chinese, American
yeah.
movies.
Have you ever tried to sort of go and see Chinese movies?
Not that time. We hardly have any
Chinese
movies.
How about the Chinese operas? Or?
No, we don't hardly have any at all.
During
that time, we don't have any.
Uh-huh. How about, did you ever go, I know Tom Gobbins did gamble some, and did you ever go with him?
Well, no, I
witness
never
witness any?
I never did go with him, but uh-huh. he disliked me to go in there or go gambling.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's pretty strict. Sometimes he bawl you out, you know. He treat me like his son, see, but
yes.
he, whenever done something wrong, he always bawl me out.
Uh-huh.
And then when he bawl me out, go in one ear and come out the other. So I just happened to, at one time when he's gambling, I just happened to walk in there
uh-huh.
and saw how he gambled.
Uh-huh.
And
I
he
see.
Gambles pretty big. See.
Yeah, did you ever try it yourself?
No.
For curiosity.
During those time there, I'm not much a gambler. I don't know how to gamble too much.
Mm-hmm. So you never really know how they operate and who were there.
Yeah.
Most Chinese probably love to do that. How about these lottery things?
Yes, lottery. I play lottery quite often.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only game that I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have an agent, a Chinese agent, I just go in there and put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And mahjong, I play once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I play mahjong over there. That's all.
Uh-huh.
That's the only kind of gambling I ever gambled.
Did you have pretty good luck? Pretty much.
Not too much luck.
So
every time I lost, I shrink a little bit.
Yeah. So, like most of the people winning for lottery or mahjong, were they young people or all age or?
All age.
Yeah. How about women? No. So these gambling houses is most all for men.
Yeah.
Did any women actually play mahjong at home?
During those time, probably so. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
During those time, no woman do any gambling at all.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they might play in a lottery,
uh-huh.
you know, give to some man to put them in for them,
uh-huh.
but never themselves.
Uh-huh.
During those time, there's no. It's only. In fact, only a few women in Los Angeles during that
yes,
time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. How about the keynote, you know, these
same thing.
Like the women will do it, I mean, through their husband or...
Yeah, through a husband or friend.
Oh, they would but, do it. They don't go to the places.
No, they don't go to the places.
I see.
They do fa, they call that.
Yeah,
in other words, characters.
Uh-huh.
Right? And when they open a certain character, and they give you an idea, a little rhyme, give you an idea. It's up to you to think what character
you
would
pick
that
up
be.
The, uh-huh, right. I see. So, other than that, you didn't really do much anything else, like the sports? You play ball games? Or
I don't hardly play ball either. The only activity that I play is swimming.
Oh.
That's the only thing I have.
So where did you go and
I used to go down with Donna Beach, Santa Monica. Ocean Park, uh-huh. All that.
Were many of your Chinese friends went down there?
Just a few Chinese friends that I go around with. Uh-huh.
Is this a beach, right? It's not like public swimming pool. Have you ever went to public swimming
pool? No, never went up to a swimming pool. Except one time I went to San Francisco, that swimming pool was talking about with this Japanese fellow, Shimada.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to visit down there. That's only one time. That's supposed to be the longest swimming pool in the United States, I think.
Huh.
That's up in San Francisco, right now, near the park somewhere. Where I don't remember now.
Uh-huh.
I know they have that.
I see.
Longest, the biggest swimming pool. What do you call it? Longest.
I see. Yeah. So you would go there and visit him, and then you swim over there?
No, we both go up there to visit the place.
Oh, it's not owned by Shimada?
No. No,
okay.
We just go visit. That's the public. The swimming pool is the public. So.
I see.
And when we saw that, so Shimon and I go in swimming.
Uh-huh.
That's the only pool that I ever went in swimming.